morning. Right, well, I'd like to give a warm welcome to everyone, and it is quite warm. Now, I'd like to introduce a few people. Dave Long, most of you will know, but Dave was our pastor here for many years, and Dave spoke yesterday. We also have Alistair, who was the very first pastor here, and Alistair's going to speak today. We have two of our local councillors, John and Debs. John spoke a bit today, yesterday, and Debs wants to say a few words today. I'd like to make special mention of our musicians, Senga and Steph and Karen. I mean, the music and the singing yesterday was outstanding. It was, shall I say, just like old times, but it was lovely. Now, before we start, some important safety notices. So the fire exits are labelled there and there. So if there is a fire, please exit by either of those and make your way round to the car park area. And then we'll try and see if everybody's there. Toilets, which you may have already found, there's one with disabled access in the foyer and two more in the corridor. And when it comes to the lunch afterwards, if you have any food allergies, be sure to let us know, and then we can direct you in the right direction for anything that you, away from the things that you can't eat. We have a retiring collection today, and the offering box is on the cupboard in the foyer, and all the money this weekend is going to go towards pantry and for Torch, and you're going to hear about those and you'll realise why the money is important to those. There's also a book in which you can sign, put any memories or appreciation or whatever you want. That's also out there, but we'll try and circulate that later and give everyone an opportunity if they want to write in it. Shall we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being here this morning in this place. We thank you for the buzz of the chat as we came in. We thank you for the atmosphere that's created whenever two or three or more are gathered together in your house. And we thank you that this has been a house of prayer and worship and teaching and fellowship and friendship for 60 years. We thank you for that and we praise you. We give you the glory. You are the one who gives us the energy to do these things, to organise, to do everything that's needed for an occasion like this, but not just for this, but throughout the years. Thank you, Father. Amen. So today is a continuation, really, of yesterday. Now, yesterday was amazing. We had memories shared. We had appreciation shown. And I wish you could all have been here yesterday, because then you'd have got the full story of what the past has meant to people, and also then you'll see today what we're going to be doing in the future. But yesterday I felt that the glory of God was on display, and credit went to him. But for anyone who wasn't here yesterday, to fill you in, as I said, yesterday was very much about the past. Today is much more about what we're doing now. We're looking to the future. Now, our church life, for those of you who come regularly, will know, has not been without its challenges. We've had times when we've had a pastor to lead us, in Alistair, Dave, Dominic, and a couple of others who were with us for a very short time, and times when we have basically done it ourselves. We're blessed now in that we have formed a strong team of leaders with a variety of skills and abilities among us, and those of us, all of whom have played a significant part in getting ready for today and in the execution of this weekend. And we've seen that during the last 6 months, we have seen growth and movement in this place. We're also blessed in that we have a fully functional board of trustees that include two external trustees, both of them here today, Norman and Barry, who have been incredibly supportive of our work, backing us up and encouraging us when times have been tough, and then rejoicing with us when things have been going well. They've helped us so much with the challenges we faced and with all those legal obligations of being answerable to the Charity Commission. So a big thank you to Barry and to Norman for their help in all of this. And now Barry is going to come and bring us the reading that Alistair's chosen to speak on later. And after Barry's been up here, we're going to sing In Christ Alone, and Mari's going to sign for us with that one. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Judy. Good morning to you all. And for those that may not know me, I'm Barry Young. It's my privilege to be one of your external trustees here in support of your own people who are trustees of this church. Judy, my wife, and I, we're members of Kennet Valley Free Church just down the road, and we bring greetings from the leadership and the church family there. There's been a long association between our churches, and we, as church treasurer at the time, I particularly remember with gratitude your hospitality towards us when our building was being constructed, and we were in the school during on a Sunday, but we had nowhere midweek. So if we had a church meeting, or if we had a funeral, or and we did have one or two, you invited us to come here, and we were very, very grateful for that. Today, we're celebrating 60 years of this fellowship of God's people shining the light of Jesus onto the estate here at Southcote. And as has already been mentioned, it's been difficult at times. How hard the devil has tried to thwart, attack and discourage over those 60 years. But the mission, now known as Southcote Family Church, has overcome and claimed the victory in this spiritual battle. And here we are in 2025. You're moving forward in love and obedience, looking to Christ for guidance and grace, determined to keep that flame of witness alive. We praise and thank God for all the people that have served here over the previous 60 years. And to those of you here now, the fellowship of this church now, we thank you as you continue to light up Southcote with the love of Jesus. Our reading this morning is taken from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. I'm sure, like me, you've heard this passage many, many times, but every time we hear it, the Lord speaks to us, and I'm sure he will do today. So, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Having been found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, and to will and act according to his good purpose. This is the word of the Lord.
So now I'd like to invite Debs Edwards, one of our local councillors, to come. She'd like to say a few words. And after Debs, Norman Lindsay, who I've already told you is our external trustee, and Dave Long are going to come and bring us some prayers for the past and for the present.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody, and happy 60th. Absolutely fabulous. I was drawn into this fantastic place when I gave birth to twins. I didn't give them birth here. You're all right. You're all right. But I had lost my job. I had become pregnant. Obviously, I was married and all that, but this was a surprise pregnancy. And I gave birth to these two gorgeous boys who are now 33. But they needed to go somewhere. And I'd worked and worked all my life. I'd not taken any time off anything. I'd just continued jobs, looked after my children. They'd gone to nursery, etc., etc. They were the youngest of three other children. And I thought, look, I'm going to try coming here. Now, this was in 1993, okay, a long time ago. I didn't have any friends. I'd moved into Reading a few years ago, and we bought a house in Southcote in 1987, but I'd not built any friendships. I'm quite a lively person, and I know my fellow colleague John Ennis, and I know David will know that. But I had become rather withdrawn in looking after twins and everything else, and no money, it was a problem. But when I walked in through this door with these twins, I was embraced in the feeling of absolute joy. It was warm, it was welcoming, there were people here and people I made friendships with, people I actually did recognise from the street, and I became absolutely more confident. I thought, right, I'm getting on with my life now. I can come here once a week with my twins and have a fantastic time, and it's built my confidence. It was the whole ethos around this building, the whole ethos of everybody who works here, the whole ethos of who has been helped here. Now, as a councillor, obviously now, gradually got there after a few years, and I think it was, nearly 20 years I've been a councillor. And I still enjoy being invited here, coming here. I still have the same feeling. And I think you've done an absolutely fantastic job. You have supported families who come here. I have been able to help and support them as well. And that, to me, is a real, real push forward. There are people that have been neglected over a long time, and they need the care and comfort that you offer for nothing so they can be strong enough to go and face the truth and get things done. So I bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Debs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so happy that this weekend we come together to celebrate your faithfulness in enabling this church to start life here on Southcote and to continue through both good and troubled times. Thank you that the good news of Jesus has lain at the heart of believers right from the beginning. By your grace and mercy, by the wonderful hidden work of your Holy Spirit, you drew men and women with their families to establish a family of believers here on this estate. We're so grateful that they were such godly people, fully committed to the vision you inspired in them. And we're very thankful for all those who have followed them and helped this church to prosper and grow and stay true to their founding principles. We fully accept that there have been failings and faults as successive generations of members have come and gone, but you have remained ever trustworthy and generous beyond measure. We thank you that what you have established here is a family of worshippers who in very large measure have been willing to serve. We appreciate all those who have been prepared to take leadership roles in the church, whether as elders, deacons, pastors, heading up home groups, leading many of the outreaches, coffee morning, mother and toddlers. And particularly impressive has been the willingness of countless individuals to give of themselves to those vital aspects of our church life that often go unseen and unrecognized. Secretarial, organizational, seeing to the layout and the physical care of this building and grounds, doing all the tasks that enable us to share time together comfortably and particularly enjoy good food, from the simplest to the grandest level. Father, without the general willingness to give financially, this fellowship would have ceased to exist long ago. Whether possessing little or much, your people here have given so generously to further your mission both on this estate, in this town, and beyond into the furthest parts of the world through the causes and people we have supported around over the years. How good it was of you to give us Tom and Edna to send and sustain in their amazing ministry. But above all, Father, we thank you that by your grace, you have grown this church to be a caring church. The mutual support of family members has been so encouraging. Though far from perfect, we are grateful for the ways you have brought believers into your family here and fostered in them through faith a willingness to serve, to give, and to care. As you have been faithful, may these now here continue to prove faithful to you. And we give you our thanks in our Saviour's name. Amen.
I'm Norman Lindsay. I'm the other external trustee, though I have to say I regard myself as a semi-external trustee because I dip in and out of this place. I have been dipping in and out for the last 25 years. My daughter Stacey, who is unfortunately not here today, she was here yesterday. She used up the last of her resources coming and talking to so many people she hadn't seen for ages. And the dog had a good time too. Thank you for welcoming him yesterday. He's sleeping it off today. Thank you for that. We first came because Mari's daughter, Sarah, was at school with Stace at Thiel Green, and she said to Stace, when Stace had only been there a few weeks at the school, you ought to come to our youth group at our church. Well, we, of course, were firmly rooted in the Methodist Church. My home church is Emmanuel on the Oxford Road, next to Battle Library. Nobody ever notices the church because the car park gets in the way, but we're next to Battle Library, or the library's next to us, whichever. But we came on, my wife Barbara and I came to have a look to see what the people were like at this place that our daughter was now going to, just to make sure. They turned out to be all right. I've never met anybody with two heads. We were welcomed immediately as a family. One of the first things that happened was that there was a trip to Spring Harvest being organised, and we came along to inquire about the arrangements for Stacey going on this trip, and Paul Shepherd said to us, well, you can come as well. You're family now. So apparently we were. So we went to there, and that occasion, the only instance of green-eyed jealousy I've ever seen in 25 years, because that year we all went self-catering and we were in the Shelley with Bill and Joan. And people said, we wanted Bill. Bill's cooking was legendary. The very first meal he made was a spag bol, and it was wonderful. I remember it with joy. So, thank you, Bill. Somebody who didn't get mentioned yesterday was Janet Holmes, because Janet, for a period, ran the senior version of the youth club here, and we got roped into that. And for a couple of years, we were helping, and I remember she organised a trip to the Houses of Parliament. Barbara was a Londoner. I'd lived in London for a couple of years. We'd never been to the Houses of Parliament. Janet made it happen. Janet made lots of things happen. Her email address was Dragon Lady. She liked to frighten people because it made them more cooperative. She was wonderful. I also knew her as a school governor at Kennet Valley, and she was a joy there, that we had to shut her up from time to time because she had wonderful big ideas. But she was a joy and a pleasure and a very missed member of this fellowship. She was a lovely lady. So time now to pray prayer for the present, but it has to look back and it has to look a little bit forward. Father God, we give you thanks and praise that the founding members of this small corner of your church on earth built this fellowship on no other foundation than Jesus Christ himself. We thank you that your word is alive and active, and that the scriptures are at the forefront of the worship, praise, and soul-nourishing activities that happen in this place. Everyone who attends a fellowship activity here will hear scripture read and often preached, will hear relevant prayers for people, issues, and concerns, and will feel the power of your love in Christ. From the beginnings of the fellowship, several years before this church was built, the founding members had the God-given wisdom and foresight to establish a trust and to appoint trustees from among their own number and from outside. We thank you that the financial support of Kingdom Work by this fellowship has always been prudently and legally managed. You have assembled in this place a generous and open-hearted family that has supported and still supports important kingdom work in so many places, some local and some much further away. May this always be done to your glory. The fellowship has faced challenges over the years, even in recent months. We ask that the leadership team and those in support will prayerfully consider the way forward as they negotiate rocky and unclear sections of the journey of faith as a fellowship in Christ. We thank you, Father, that the way is not always smooth, it is not always clear, that our hopes and desires do not always coincide with yours, and that our expectations sometimes differ widely from your own. We thank you because in negotiating these difficult passages and finding your way forward, we grow as followers of Christ. Our faith is made stronger, our vision of the kingdom clearer. We praise you, Father, that whenever the leaders and trustees of this church have needed advice, guidance, or technical help, you've always provided from within the Christian family leaders and counselors who have risen to the occasion. It continues to be a great strength of this church that it has strong and enduring ties to other Christian groups, churches, and individuals who are able to guide, counsel, and support in times of need, uncertainty, or change. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed this church, both from within the fellowship and from its wider family, with wise, kindly individuals who are blessed by the Spirit with gifts. Gifts freely shared with grace and humility. And in their turn, this fellowship has been supportive of others, and for that we give thanks too. Lord Jesus, you know that a spirit of open-handed, open-hearted generosity has been a hallmark of your church in this place. By your abundant blessing, the preaching of the gospel, care for the membership, outreach to the local community, mission and evangelism have all continued down the long years. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to equip this loyal church family of yours to do that which is necessary for the kingdom, that they will not only grow in understanding and faith, but will grow the faith in others who are fortunate enough to come in contact. We ask that this fellowship may continue to honour you in whatever ways you require, whether they are old ways or perhaps quite new ones to meet the present age. May leaders, trustees, and members continue to serve each other and your kingdom with open hearts, open minds, and compassion. Father God, you have richly blessed this congregation for 60 years in this building. By the power of your Holy Spirit, so strengthen our faith in Christ's redeeming love, that for all who enter this place will continue to find a loving welcome and a sense of safety, peace and renewal. Whatever their circumstances, background or origins, may the example set by this congregation guide them as they come to know for themselves your love in Christ, that they may be made a new creation to your everlasting glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, Shepherd and King, we offer this prayer. Amen.
So I've made a decision not to worry about time. So if anybody was thinking they were going to get home early today, just forget it, because we're not going to cut corners, because we can't, can we? Because we're celebrating today. Okay, so as we keep saying, we've had good times and challenging times. And all through the years, Jesus Christ has been our cornerstone, the solid foundation on which everything else has been built. So very appropriately now we're going to sing, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less."
Blood and righteousness, the very dawn.
Okay, so when Henry decided to leave us at the end of December, after only being here for a comparatively short time, we once again had to regroup and see where God would lead us. This wasn't an easy time for us, but through God's grace, we are now seeing amazing things happening. We've seen new people come through the door on Sundays at coffee mornings, and once or twice during prayer meetings on a Friday when the door has been open and broken people have come in and we've prayed with them. And these have been really special times. Our association with Manor Primary School is developing well, with pupils and teachers coming here last Wednesday to join in with the cream tea, and then a few of us went litter picking together on Thursday. And we are planning now for regular involvement with the school council, who are keen to be involved in their community. They're going to be coming over on a regular basis. And they were so lovely with all our people here on Wednesday, just so natural with them. And then in March, we heard that the pantry, and you're going to hear a bit about this in a minute, was looking for a new home, or needed a new home. And basically, they'd always wanted to be in the in a church, and Mark, who's here today, just dropped in to a little conversation. Oh, did you know the pantry are looking for a new home? And something just clicked in me. And within a few months, well, a couple of months actually, a few weeks, we'd cleared up, we'd cleaned up, we'd tidied up, and the extension at the back of the church was prepared and ready for the pantry to move in the beginning of May. Now, they operate here every Tuesday afternoon, and you're going to hear about that. Alongside this, we have Communicare, which is a little bit like a mini Enquire, which Fumi, who's here today with us, was very much involved in. Communicare come and work alongside Pantry, providing help with filling in forms or other things that people are struggling with so much today. We're also involved in Torch, another Christian organisation, and associated with that has been the appointment of a parish nurse. These are all exciting things, and, you know, we've been given the energy to do this by God. I mean, I don't know at 75 where, you know, how else you get that energy, but I've got it, and we're moving forward. So I'm now going to ask Andy and Karen to come up and tell us a little bit about Pantry, and then Mark and Melanie, who is the parish nurse, will come and tell you a bit about their work.
Hi, as Judy said, I'm Karen and I lead the pantry here at the church every Tuesday. Yes, as Judy said, last July we had the enormous privilege of opening our sixth pantry in Reading here in Southcote. We were originally based at Coronation Square and we quickly became a very eagerly anticipated event for the week. We established a really great rapport with everybody there and we've really embedded ourselves into the community. Now on our first day, we anticipated about 6 to 7 new members, which was pretty normal for a pantry opening. We had friends from Coley Park Pantry come and help us on our first day, and we signed up 22 members on our first day. And today we have 81 active members with a combined household size of 224 people. That's 224 people that are benefiting from food and toiletries each week that wouldn't normally have been able to afford and cope with it. So the pantry values are dignity, hope and choice. So dignity, some of our members previously received food parcels from our food bank, and it's free, it's crisis food. They don't get really a lot of choice of what they get. But our pantry members come in each week, they pay £6 for each week, and that gives them dignity knowing that they're contributing towards their shopping. And the average value, we did a little bit of a thing with our baskets early this year. So for their £6, their average value of their food is around £28 to £30 worth of groceries that they get for it. So choice, as I say, unlike the food bank, there's little to no choice in the food parcel. But our members can choose at least 10 items. We have quite a quirky pricing system of hearts and diamonds. And from that, they can select from fresh fruit and veg. We have dairy. We have a big freezer full of food, big fridge full of food, meats, cheese, milk, everything you'd find in your fridge and freezer as well. And we also stock household items and toiletries as well. And Hope, so by offering this subsidised shopping service and friendship, there's a welcome and a non-judgmental environment when people come into Pantry. And now also as well at Southcote Family Church, having it here, there's also a spiritual hope as well for people, not just a physical hope. So it's our hope that they're coming in here, they're getting experiencing spiritual support and nurturing, and we can offer hope that their circumstances will improve, that they're not alone, that they don't have to go hungry, and there's a place in the community now where they are always welcome, where someone cares. So how we operate, we have a cafe in this room in here. We have a free cafe, so again, there's no pressure on people having to worry about coming in and paying for a tea and coffee. As you know, you go to Costa, decent coffee is going to cost you £5 or £6. That's the cost of their shop in a cup of coffee. So it's free tea and coffee. Our shoppers chat while they're getting to know each other while they're waiting to shop. And it's really popular. And what we're doing now also is we're letting our members know that not only is there the pantry here, that there's the coffee and chat on a Wednesday morning. So we're trying to encourage our members to now come on Wednesday and carry on those conversations that they've had at pantry. Also as well, because they're going to recognise people, lots of people here from the church come into pantry, so they're starting to recognise friendly faces. So it's a place where they're not going to come in and feel daunted. So we have personal shoppers as well. We have a great volunteer team that help them with their shopping, they help them with their packing, and also suggesting meal ideas. Quite often we do have people that come in, they've got very limited cooking facilities. They might not have an oven or a microwave, they might just have a hobtop. So our shoppers will talk to them and kind of direct them to the things that they can make a meal with. So we have some really great conversations with them in that. So to our members, pantry is an essential lifeline. It's knowing they can get just enough food and toiletries to see them through the week. We don't limit the length of time somebody can come to pantry. So we've had members who have regularly shopped with us since day one, and they're still shopping with us now. So it's a long-term commitment that we're giving these people. Yeah, food poverty and food security is real, and it's on our doorstep. And we have a couple of stories on our first day. I think you spoke to a lady, didn't you, Andy, who cried on her first day because she couldn't remember the last time she could afford cheese. Something as fundamental as cheese. We've had another member that shared that her and her husband cleared a significant debt from the savings that they made coming to pantry as well. So it's those stories that are motivating us to continue serving at pantry here. So how we get our food, we get our food from a variety of sources. We work with Fair Share, which is a national charity. We pick up stuff from Costco on a Monday morning. We do a supermarket shop, and we also rely on donations. So there's normally a couple of plastic boxes here that have got stuff in that the congregation put things into. It's really heartwarming when we see the donations coming in. Grange also donate in St Matthew's as well. And it's really heartwarming because the first thing that generally tends to get sacrificed when people are suffering financially are the luxury items, are the treats, and the toiletries and the washing pads and things. We often think about people needing food, but they also need toiletries. They need to be able to wash their clothes. They need to brush their teeth and do things like that. I've just realised actually that I've printed out my speech and I've missed a whole page off, so I'm going to try and remember everything that I had on it. Just coming into these doors. We had our first birthday this week as well. And a lot of our pantry members said that when they come into this building, they feel welcome. They don't feel judged. They don't feel that there's a stigma. They come in and they feel like it's family. They feel that it's warm. There's really not much else to say, really. It's just been wonderful. It's been wonderful that we have found our home here. So the main thing is to say thank you. Thank you for giving Pantry a home. Thank you for listening to God's direction, for bringing him here. Our members really rely on it. They really do rely on it. So many people will come to us on a Tuesday and say that they're struggling. They've only got a couple of pounds left in the bank. They're struggling. But one of the things also as well that we found that since coming here as well is that we're also building up our community wraparound services, as Judy's mentioned earlier. We welcomed a parish nurse, Mel, who comes in and chats to our members every week. They know that they can have a listening ear. We have Lynn, who's from CommuniCare. She's just done her third week. They've committed to a year for us. And the words they use were, it's going to be a slow burn. But already in 3 weeks, Lynn has helped 9 members of the community and pantry with advice about debt, about housing. She's helped one lady complete a complete PIP form, which I understand apparently is a nightmare to fill, an absolute nightmare. This lady didn't even know where to start, and Lynn sat with an hour for her filling this form in before she did her pantry shop. So not only are we just offering food and that, the church now is becoming a place where people are realising that they can come in and get real practical help as well. And around that, there's prayer. There's prayer and support. And we know that the church team here are praying diligently for pantry and things that are going on. We've also worked with a company called Awesome Books as well. And they're a company that if you buy a book online, they will donate a book. So they send us free books. So we can order them 100 at a time. And they go out into the pantry on a little bookshelf. And the idea again as well is that we're finding that literacy levels in children and adults are also deteriorating. So it's to encourage children and adults to read. They get to take a free book home every week. The children love it. The children go out there while mum's doing the shop or dad's doing the shop. They sit in the corner and they pick a book and they get to take it home. And they're quite astonished that they get to keep it. It's not like a library. And then they can come back the next week and get another book. So the children are going out with a free gift every week as well. So there's lots going on. So in closing, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you for listening to the call to open this church for our pantry. Thank you for giving us a home. And congratulations on 60 years here. And we just pray that God richly blesses you in everything that you do here, that you receive great favour and reward and faithfulness to your service to him as we look to the years ahead.
Well, I didn't print anything out, so I'm just going off lid. I want to thank very much for the support that Southgate Family Church has given us as we've moved and established and as we grow our pantry, as you've heard from Karen and the team that are here. I've got a soft touch, as you know, for the church here. My affiliation goes back 30-odd years when I moved to Reading to work alongside Neville at Prospect Community Church, as it was then. And we ran a youth group here. And as many of you know, I got baptised in that pool as well. And know Dave well. We ran holiday clubs together and all sorts. So that's a great softness of heart as we come back and celebrate 60 years of what you're doing here. But I want to encourage you as well with something meaningful. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. That's you, that's me, that's us. We are the hope of the world. And so as we do our projects, as we do our endeavours, yes, we provide food, yes, we give books away, yes, we're doing a project with the university to prove how we can reduce diabetes down the line and extend life expectancy of more deprived areas. Yes, we're doing all that stuff. But the core thing is Jesus. The core thing is him. And unless people find him and experience him and drawn in to local expressions of the local church like this, they're without God. And as the Bible says, without God, without hope. Not knowing direction for life. Not knowing fulfillment of life here and an eternity with him. So we are the hope of the world. So I want to encourage you. You've heard some fantastic stories. The pantries are an amazing thing. We've got loads of stories of impacts of lives that have been changed. But it all comes down to him. If they go out of here with food, which is great, but we want them going out of here knowing him, experiencing his love, his grace, his acceptance, all the things that we take for granted. I was praying this morning as I woke up, as I guess you all did. It's very light at the moment. The sun comes through, doesn't it? And this is the verse, very familiar. And I've lost it in the page. Here it is. This is it. Matthew chapter 5, it's the Sermon of the Mount. Very, very familiar words. This is about the salt and light. We are the salt and light into Southcote. You are the salt. My phone's just giving up. There we go. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, what is going on with my phone? Has anyone got a Bible? But if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Southcote Family Church, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are here for him. Let's not forget that. We are here for him. And thank you again for supporting us in making a difference here in Southcote.
Well done, Andy and Karen. So encouraging, isn't it? It's an amazing work across town, across the whole of Reading. God has brought so many faithful charities to serve the people of Reading. And we're just privileged to share in that and to ride on the back of what God's been doing over many years. So my name's Mark Oliver. I go to Argyle Community Church, and they send their greetings to you today as well. We've again, like many have said, had a long association of churches and sharing and support. It's great to be here on this day and to share with you. So greetings from them. And we're actually celebrating this weekend our 50th anniversary of the Honeypot Toddler Group. That's what's going on today in our service and yesterday. So it's a great service. Great. We had 100 people come through the door yesterday to the event from the community, which is great. And Torch is one of those developments that's come on the back of COVID out of, no one saw it coming, no one saw what we're going to be talking about today, but God has done something remarkable. We're just there for the people who have no one else to turn to. We're a charity of last resort. In fact, we're not really here for you lot, we're here for everybody else outside the door to bring them and point them towards church, the hope of the world, as Andy's been saying. And it's my privilege in leading that work to meet so many church leaders across Reading. And you know what is really inspiring is seeing actually not the big churches but the small churches who are continuing faithfully serving under quite challenging circumstances, but the way in which actually the church has come together and charities have come together, like we've been hearing here, to wrap around and support people in the community and support the church and facilitate the church. So I get the privilege in some ways of joining up dots occasionally to help things happen. And you know, it's been encouraging also just to see the grace and the assurance and the faith that you have continued in challenging times. You know, you'll probably ask, I'm often asked, if you're a leader of anything, you're asked, how's it going? How's it going? Is it going well? And I often wonder, just what is the response when you're working for the kingdom of God in that situation? You know, what KPIs are we being measured by? Well, I no longer work in the business world, so thankfully I don't have any KPIs except one. I just have one person to be accountable for. And so what's come to my mind over time is actually, I think what God calls us to be is not successful, but faithful. Not successful, but faithful. And so as long as we are doing what the Lord has asked us to do, when we remain faithful, even in the most difficult of circumstances, that's our challenge. And as I was thinking about this today, I've got a word for you. Actually, it's the word so. S-O. S-O. It's one of those words that is kind of so. It's a bit like therefore or for this reason. You know, something's happened, and we can look forward to something else. So, and it's in Acts 6, verse 7. So, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. But what came before that? The preceding six verses are about the church organizing themselves in the face of a challenge, in the face of difficulties, in the face of if you like, an unfairness. But they organised as they managed and sorted themselves without, it seems without a clear leader, but together they organised practical care for the widows, for everyone, and spiritual care. That the word of God was still spoken, that there was teaching, there was ministry, there was prayer within the church. And as it says, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn the responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And I think what we're seeing in what you've been able to do is, without a leader, is develop and grow that ministry of care for the community, mindful of all of those we've been hearing about, blessing so many families, whilst you've also managed to faithfully minister the word of God and you've organized yourselves wonderfully. So keep going, keep the main thing, and remain faithful, and then God will bless this. Surely, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Southcote increased rapidly. We pray. Amen. So Melanie's just going to come and share a little bit now of one of our really exciting developments as we've moved into bringing parish nursing into the Ark of Torch. So over to Melanie.
Good morning, everyone. It is still morning, right? Yes. Yeah, so my name's Melanie and I'm the parish nurse. I was employed on the 1st of April this year. April Fool's Day maybe, but actually I'm happy to be a fool for Jesus, so that's fine. So why a parish nurse and why Southcote and Cayley? So Southcote and Cayley are areas of quite significant deprivation. And with that deprivation comes health inequalities. And there are many people that live in, the 11,000 people the latest statistics say are in Southcote, live with comorbidities, long-term health conditions, multiple health conditions that limit their life. That limit their life to actually reducing it by 10 years. Like, that's significant, isn't it? So when I came here to Southcote and Cayley, I kind of thought, where do I begin, Lord? Where do I begin? So what I did was came here and I saw what is offered every single week. So I came to coffee and chat and met people that I've met before and also met new people. And that was such a powerful experience for me because, yes, it is coffee and chat, but it's so much more than that. People are supporting each other. They probably don't even realise what they're doing, but they're supporting each other. It's such a welcoming environment. The other thing that happens here is Happy Feet, which I didn't know whether it was a dancing class or not, but it's not, is it? It's a chiropodist. And I came in and met the people that do that. And this place is different every single day of the week. And that's incredible. And I'll tell you why that's incredible. For a man that I was a referral to Torch, and he asked for prayer. Like when I did my parish nurse training, they said, it's rare that people will ask for prayer. I've had so many requests for prayer. He's housebound. He's 88 years old. He's partially sighted. He has many health issues. He's the main carer for his wife, who has learning disabilities. So I went to him and, of course, prayed. And one of the things that is amazing is the shalom of Jesus, the wholeness that Jesus can bring for people. But, of course, that didn't stop there with prayer. I recognised and helped him with lots of other things, but I looked at his feet and I thought, if you can't continue walking, you can't continue being at home, looking after your wife and staying together and staying out of care. So we've got an appointment on the 31st of July to come here to have his feet done. Then he can get a pair of winter shoes because he has no winter shoes. So that's the kind of amazing experience that I've been involved in. But coming to pantries here, so God told me one by one that coming to pantries here has just been an incredible gift for me. I've been able to get alongside people, and people are really happy to talk about their health issues. They're happy to ask for advice. They've been able to signpost for weight management, for blood pressure control, for controlling cholesterol, up to referrals to cardiologists. So it's kind of, the breadth is quite significant. But the warmth and the family feel that is here is incredible. And one, I had the privilege of being here yesterday, which was incredible too. But one of the things that Alistair said is that this church is family for the lonely. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's it. That's what I see every single time I come here. So thank you for that. That is just incredible. One of the other things that struck me yesterday was we sang Lord for the Years. And in the fourth verse, you know, so sometimes God just stops you and says, listen to this. In the fourth verse, it says, hungry and helpless, lost without him. I can't, that's it, isn't it? And that's what we're able to do for these people. So thank you for that. I'm just going to finish with one story, and I've got permission to share this one. Is we had a referral through Torch for a lady who was lives very locally, who was able to kind of be independent, go and do her own shopping, mingle with people, and she fell and injured both wrists and withdrew. So for weeks and weeks, she wasn't able to do things for herself. And now she's got to the point when actually she doesn't want to go out. So she phoned Torch and said, I need somebody to help me integrate with society. So I went to visit her a couple of weeks ago, and we stood at her kitchen window. We looked out, and I said, can you see that roof? And she said, yeah, it's the roof of Southcote Family Church. And so I said, on a Wednesday morning, they do a coffee and chat. And I said, how about we walk there, have a coffee, and walk back? And she said, yes, because she could see what she was asked to do. She trusted me, and please pray for that relationship to continue, because it's massive for her. But she can do that. So that is such a gift. I did ask Judy afterward to mention that. Is it okay if I bring her? But of course, it's exactly what it's all about. So thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for being family for the lonely. And look forward to seeing more of you in the future. Thank you.
Just to say that Melanie was a consultant nurse at the RBH and gave up a really high-powered job to do what she's doing now. Wonderful, wonderful. Goodness me, it is still morning, right? Okay. We're going to... Karen's going to come and give us just some prayers for the future. Just before she comes, I'll just lead us into the song that we're going to sing afterwards. Now, some of you will never have heard this one before, but it's it comes from Pete's sister, so my sister-in-law, who comes to stay with us from Northumberland, and she loves this church. And she says that her church now is Hexham Abbey, and it's so big, and they don't really take much notice when you get a bit old. She's 87, but she was a lay preacher, and she is marvellous. She speaks brilliantly, she reads beautifully, but she's just not really made use of. And she just loves coming here because everybody, she says, is valued. And she came downstairs for breakfast one morning when she was staying with us, and she was singing this song. And we've sort of adopted it a bit for our future, I think. So after Karen's been up, we're going to sing Let Us Build a House. But I've asked Senga if she'll play it through once first so that we can sort of get the gist of it. Thank you, Karen. I can't see her. Oh, there she is. I forgot you were fluting today.
Multitasking today. Morning, everybody. I'm Karen, spelt Karen, but Karen, and I've only been a part of this congregation for 1/6 of its 60 years, so I'm definitely a newbie, but it's been so lovely to hear all of the stories of what's happened in the past and what's happening now, and I think it's so heartwarming to hear of the way people have been helped. So thank you for all of you who have brought stories for us today, and I think that's going to be, you know, encouraging us for the future. Just in the way that the Old Testament is so important for understanding the new, our past has to inform our future. I am one of those people who looks for the new, who looks for change, and I often need to be reminded to be grounded in what's come before. So thank you for that. And I'd like to give all of you the opportunity to pray if you wish, whether silently or out loud. So there will be some gaps in this, not particularly long gaps, but just if you want to, please join in with the prayers. And Graham and I have worked on these together, so it's a joint effort. Father, we thank you for time spent sharing memories and strengthening bonds. We are grateful for your faithfulness and the way you weave the threads of our lives together to create a beautiful work of art. When the baton is passed, one thread attaches to another and the story continues. Some threads come to an end and are fastened off, sometimes neatly, sometimes not. But they are still part of the picture and we remember them. New threads join and encourage us to see how the picture is changing and growing, and you care for us all. Whatever the colour or longevity of our thread, you know exactly where to place us, and we look forward to the day when we will fully see your creative work in which we've all played a part. We praise and thank you, Lord, for all that has happened this year, for both the times of uncertainty and grief and the exciting times of change and renewal. As we pray, we trust that you will hear our voices. We trust that you do hear them and you hear our hearts, whether in speech or in silence. We lift our prayers to you today. Thank you, Father, for all those who've spoken at our services this year and the blessings that they have brought us. Thank you for the connections made with Southcote Pantry and Communicare and Torch. We pray for the clients and for the volunteers who support them. Father, it is so encouraging that through Torch, Southcote and Coley now have a parish nurse. We thank you for Melanie's willingness to lay down her previous role and pray for her as she listens to you for the next steps. Thank you, Father, for the Christian networks in our town, networks like Churches Together in Reading and Transform Reading, and for the opportunities we are being given to be involved. And we pray for the fruit of 28 years of weekly prayer and Christian unity. And alongside that, we also pray for the council, our local councillors, and our new mayor, Alice. And we ask that you guide the future direction of our town. Father, it is so good to see that our building is in use nearly every day of the week now, not only with our own activities, but also local groups and those who serve our community. One thing that's really struck me recently is that there is room for everyone at your table, no matter who they are. And we pray for all who enter this church and for all who encounter you as we reach beyond these walls. And Father, we thank you the fact that all three churches on Southcote Lane are without ministers at the same time. We thank you because I believe there's purpose in this. It can be stressful, it can be bewildering, but help us to see your purpose that you do have for these churches in this place and the seeds that you're planting for future growth. We pray for all those involved in Southcote Alive, and every member of Christ's body connected with Southcote in some way, asking for your peace to be received and your purpose to be revealed. We thank you too, Father, for the support of our close neighbour, Kennet Valley Free Church, for Graham and his team, and the unity between our two churches. We pray for Tom as he prepares for our joint evening service next Sunday and for all who will be involved. And we pray also for their holiday Bible club starting the day after that. And thank you, Lord, for a wonderful weekend of celebration and fellowship. We've looked back on 60 years of Southcote Christian Mission and Southcote Family Church. We've enjoyed reuniting with old friends and making new ones. We ask you now that you will help us to build and grow on the solid rock of Christ. We will all have different ideas of what that growth will look like. So, as the leadership team prepares for our away day in 2 weeks' time, we pray that no matter our own thoughts, we will see your vision for Southcote and be united in purpose and prepared to follow where you lead. Help us all to grasp the full extent of the good news of the kingdom and to have love one for another. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we just listen as Senga plays it through and then we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
down. If you have a chance to look at the words of that hymn, that song, you'll realise just what it contains. It's just a brilliant, brilliant story. Now, he never thought this minute was coming, but Alistair, please come and talk to us.
I'll tell you the background to this. I did send through my notes at the start of the week so that you'd have a PowerPoint and all sorts of pictures to see. And then, when they were being loaded up, Dave's talk took over about five times. I don't know. As ever, Dave taking over these plays. Let me just read to you a passage of scripture. My phone's not even loading up just now, so I don't have my notes. So let me just share these few verses of scripture, and that'll be good. This is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me just summarize what I was going to say, because I think you've probably heard enough. But let me share just the bare bones of what I would have brought to you. First of all, this sense of thanking you for this partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We turned up in 1981, so a fair bit into things. I had actually been here to Southcote Mission shortly after I arrived here as a young man with Youth for Christ. So my memories go back a long way, but it's a real sense of partnership, sharing in the gospel, all sorts of ways. Both Dave and I came here because of partnership with Argyle Chapel, as it was then, Argyle Community Church. Without their, first of all, sending elders to support, then sending both Dave and me and supporting us, we couldn't have lived. This church had very few financial resources, but they gave them. And others from Argyle and elsewhere gave. It was a partnership in the gospel. I looked at the pictures yesterday and saw the first student team that we had here. We had so few people, but UCCF sent a student team, and this church put up all these young people in their homes. And then we had young people came and worked with us. And for a year, the church didn't have money, but people put them up in their homes, sat them down at their tables. It was partnership in the gospel. Of course, the biggest partnership in the history of this church was with the medical practice and the church, Dr. Gordon Taylor and his partners. And what we're seeing is just God doing the same thing again with different means, because God cares about whole people, not just their souls, whole people. And it's a partnership in the good news that God cares for us. It's a partnership in the gospel. The gospel, what Barry read to us at the very beginning, if you can think that far back. How the Lord Jesus Christ did not count equality with God something to be held on to at all costs, but emptied himself and became a servant, washing his disciples' feet as a picture that he would take the really horrible stuff away from us, our sin. It's all partnership in the gospel. We have so benefited from that. And I have told the stories of Southcote Family Church, Southcote Mission, so many times to encourage churches that are struggling that God works through our weakness using his power as we partner in the gospel. I thank God for this partnership in the gospel, but also being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We are here because we're partnering not just with one another, but with God. And it's always been true, you know, even just one person plus God is a majority. We're partnering together with God. And he's a good workman. So he doesn't start a job and leave it half done. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He is the one who is building the house that will stand. He will carry on. That's why prayer is so important. Not because prayer is magical. Prayer is saying, we can't do this. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. Prayer is saying, we're trusting in God to do something far more than we can. And he will. He's begun a good work in us personally. Trust him for that. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, he will never let you go. He will never let you down, because you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works he's prepared for you to do. But corporately, as a church, God has begun something here. It's not finished because Jesus hasn't come yet. It's not finished because Southcote Family Church, because it always has been a family church, has still got a mission. We're still to preach this same Jesus. We're still to make him known. We'll do it in different ways, but the mission hasn't changed. It's to call people to follow Jesus, because Jesus is good news. And Jesus changes lives. And Jesus changes communities. And maybe the best is yet to come. Can't we believe that? In glory, yes. But why shouldn't it be until the Lord Jesus comes that we see more and more? Because we are his workmanship. And it's sometimes when we feel strong and able that we get in the way of God. When we realize we can't, but he can. He can do it again and even more. And the glory is all his. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have begun a good work here. Thank you for the privilege of being part of it for a time, and for being able to keep on coming back. But Lord, we look to you to see what you will do for your glory, because your grace is sufficient for us. Your power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Amen.
So before we finish, I'd like to thank Alistair. I do apologise to Alistair for... But I think it was just so natural and brilliant. I'd like to just... I'm not going to mention people, but I'm just going to mention things, because to make this weekend possible, we had people putting up decorations, welcoming people, yesterday holding umbrellas over people coming in, catering to yesterday and today, the production of the programme that you're holding, the IT system, the music, the arranging and rearranging of chairs and tables that's gone on and will go on in a minute, the photo displays, there are photos through there for you to look at, and for all our excellent speakers. So thank you, all of those people. Now, we can't end without singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. But before that, Graham is going to come and give a little bit of a premature thanks for the food, aren't you, Graham? Okay. We do have a cake, which most of you will have seen as you came in. We won't carry it up here and cut it as we did yesterday, but there will be cake and there's loads of it. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Judy. It'd be difficult to give thanks as people are wandering around and they'd be eating and someone had got served, so we'd do it now. But first of all, I'd just like to say that at the start of the year, when we were in a bit of a mess, Alistair came down and spent a good afternoon with us going through his ideas and our ideas of how we could go forward, because we were in a mess. One of the things that Alistair said to us was, you must have a focus other than this, otherwise you'll get nowhere. Now, our focus at that time was beginning to be this weekend. And we spent the last 5 months focusing on yesterday, today, and also Wednesday afternoon when we had an afternoon tea. And thank you, Heather, for organising the food for all these things. So, yes, it's been, I'm sure you'll agree with me, it's been well worthwhile. The people that came yesterday, the people that have come today, all the people that have spoke to endorse what we're trying to do. So as well as organising this, we've organised, or other people have organised, all these different things that are taking this church forward. So I'd just like to give thanks. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us at this time and throughout the last 6 months. We thank you that you've been there to guide us, lead us and direct us to be a church you want us to be. And we pray that we will continue to grow in strength, in faith, in unity and love to be that church you want. So thank you, Lord. And I pray now for your blessing on the food that we've got to receive in 5 or 10 minutes' time, Lord. Bless us. Bless us all. Bless us all as we go back to homes at different parts of the country. Give us a safe journey home and strengthen this church beyond the 60 years into many more years in the future. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
May you go into the rest of this day and the coming week assured of the love of your Heavenly Father. May you go confident that your life is held in the hands of your loving Saviour. And may you go looking forward to what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who brings love, joy and peace, will do in and through you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and always. Amen. Thank you. If you would assist the people moving chairs and things by either going...